Let's turn to our scripture reading now from Psalm 119. And we're continuing on with this series. And we come to verses 101 to 104 in Psalm 119. As we often do, we'll take even a more narrow focus than that. Actually, this afternoon we're going to focus on verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That will be our focus of attention. But for our scripture reading, let's read verses 97 through 104 and give our attention now to God's word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Why do you suppose God has given us a sense of taste? We could easily eat our food without a sense of taste and be nourished. But God has given us a sense of taste. Why do you suppose that is? Well, our sense of taste seems to have a twofold benefit or a twofold purpose. The first would be that our taste adds enjoyment to a necessity. We have to eat in order to survive, but our sense of taste enables us to enjoy what we eat, and therefore it gives us an appetite. But the second purpose of our sense of taste seems to be that it also protects us. If something we put in our mouth tastes noxious, then we're warned. It's probably not good for us to eat, and we're warned not to swallow it, but rather to spit it out. So if you think about it, our sense of taste is a faculty of discernment. It can give us pleasure in what tastes good, or it can cause us to spit out what is bad. Now, this sense of ours has a spiritual counterpart. The believer has a spiritual taste that is given by the Holy Spirit, and it is a taste that enables us to savor and to enjoy that which is good, and it gives us an appetite for more of that which is good, but at the same time, it enables us to taste what is spiritually noxious, and to spit out what is bad. I'm talking about the faculty of spiritual discernment. And it comes to us only by knowing the Word of God. And that is how this faculty of discernment, this spiritual taste, is built up within us through the Word of God. Now, in verse 103 of our psalm, the spiritual taste of the believer is described by a comparison to the physical taste of our mouths. There's a metaphor going on there in verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste? He's talking about his spiritual taste there. He's not physically tasting the words of God. He's talking about that spiritual taste, that faculty of discernment that God has given to him. And then the metaphor comes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The physical taste of honey, which everyone recognizes as being enjoyable and sweet, is compared to the spiritual taste of God's word, which to the child of God is far sweeter to the soul than honey is to the mouth. It is this spiritual taste that causes us to delight in God's word and to have a greater appetite for it. Now, the Bible very often pictures our reception of the Word of God, that is, our reading it and understanding it and knowing it. It often pictures that process in the believer's life under the imagery of eating, not unlike the Lord's Supper. And it's imagery that suits the thing that's being described, because when you eat something, what do? You internalize it. You truly take it in. It becomes part of you. And so in the Lord's Supper, it's the imagery of partaking of Jesus Christ by faith. A true partaking in him is symbolized by eating. But our drinking in and partaking of the Word of God is also pictured in the Bible as eating, and that Word becoming part of you. Here's a few examples for you to think about. Several of the prophets speak of God's Word this way. Jeremiah 15, the prophet says, "Your words were found and I ate them," symbolizing his internalization of God's Word. Ezekiel chapter 3, the prophet had a vision of a scroll, and God commanded him to eat that scroll as a symbolic of his internalization of God's Word. But this is also a metaphor for our intake of God's Word. Oftentimes, the apostolic writers compare the Word of God to being milk that causes us to grow if we're children in Christ, or the solid food, the meat that we need as growing in Christ with a living and growing faith. And Jesus famously said that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There, he pictured God's Word as that which sustains our spiritual life. Just like bread sustains our bodily life, so the Word of God sustains us spiritually, and it must be internalized, taken in, eaten, swallowed, digested, something that truly clings to the inner man. Now, all of this biblical imagery has really two main truths that it teaches. And the first is, as I said, God's Word sustains us spiritually, like food sustains the body. And secondly, that God's Word must be taken in deeply, swallowed, and made part of us. And that certainly is the part of the teaching of that metaphor. Now, it is one thing to have spiritual food to sustain us, but our Lord has given us a sense of taste also, so that we can savor and enjoy its sweetness. God's Word is not only bread that's a necessity, but it's honey that is a pleasure. And that's how the psalmist pictures it, and how it gives his spiritual palate such delight. This afternoon, we're going to briefly cover three very simple points about this spiritual taste of which the psalmist speaks, that makes the Word of God sweeter to our souls than honey is to our mouths. The first point is this: the spiritual taste of which the psalmist speaks is part of faith that is very personal and very experiential. This spiritual taste is part of true living faith that is very personal and very experiential. Taste is the most experiential sense that we have. You can describe to someone what something looks like, what something sounds like, or what something feels like. But it's very hard to describe to someone what something tastes like. If I were to ask you, what does celery taste like? That's a hard thing to describe. What would you do? You would simply hand me a piece of celery and say, "Taste and see." That's really the only way to communicate that information. You can't communicate it. It has to be experientially understood, and you can't describe it, nor can you understand it, without tasting it. Likewise, you could go to the library and you could check out a lot of books about honey and honeybees and how they make honey and how they harvest it and process it and so on and so forth. But you'll never know what honey tastes like or how sweet it is until you yourself have tasted it. Well, our spiritual taste is very much like that. It is experiential, and it is rooted in a living faith. It's rooted in the life of a person who has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And they know that by experience. They understand what that means. When it comes to God's Word, the truth and the power of it, the conviction and the comfort of it, the wisdom and the perfection of it. You have to taste for yourself. And the taste for it has to come by the tasting of it. When the psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste," he did not arrive at that spiritual pleasure by contemplating it or being told it. He arrived at that spiritual pleasure by tasting the word himself deeply and consistently. And he came to know that uniquely personal pleasure of the sweetness of God's word as a child of God. It's one thing to believe that God's word is true and infallible, but even the demons believe that. Only a child of God with the spiritual taste of living faith knows its true sweetness to the soul, the sweetness of its promises and comforts, even the sweetness of its commandments and its warnings. And so if a man has no taste for the word of God, it is because he has no faith or love for its author. But only a living love for Christ can awaken that taste of which the psalmist speaks, that taste for God's word. And just as honey has no substitute that can fool your taste buds, there is nothing that can satisfy the spiritual taste of a believer besides the word of God. If God's word is sweet to you, then nothing can take the place of regular time in the word of God. And you may want to read many other things outside of the scriptures and books about the Bible and so on and so forth. And these things are good and useful and helpful as far as they go, particularly based on what it is that you're reading. But again, I would like it to liken it to reading a book about your favorite meal or eating your favorite meal. There is no substitute for that, for sitting down and having your taste satisfied by that which you have an appetite for. The second point is this: our spiritual taste sustains our spiritual appetite. Our spiritual taste sustains our spiritual appetite. Now, physically speaking, our taste buds, our sense of taste, sustains our physical appetite. If you didn't have any sense of taste, if you did not have the faculty of taste, that sense, you would still eat out of necessity when you had to in order to survive. Your stomach would tell you when to eat. But you would never have that experience, that anticipation of looking forward to your favorite meal when you're hungry. You would never have the sensation of appetite, of something that you truly like and look forward to having. It's our taste that gives us appetite. Think about a Thanksgiving meal that you eat once a year, right? No one looks at that meal as just, well, one more dinner that's going to sustain me for one more day. It's a special meal, and a lot of time goes into it, and the smell of it is wafting through the house for hours beforehand, and there's that anticipation because of the goodness of it. And that's what arouses the appetite, right? We've all had that experience. We eat to satisfy our hunger, but we eat what we like to satisfy our taste. And our taste is what gives us our appetite for what we like. Now, spiritual taste is the exact same way. We need God's word to sustain us, yes. But spiritual taste sustains our appetite for God's word. We come back to it again and again, not only because we need it, like bread to sustain our lives, but because it is sweet to our taste, like honey, like the psalmist says. It is truly good. And we find that true goodness, that sweetness, with every taste that we have. And so when the psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste," he is essentially talking about his appetite for the word of God, his anticipation of it. He knows it's good, and he's looking forward to his next taste of it. I want to ask you if you have this experience in your life. Do you ever think, "I'm anxious to get to the next chapter in my devotions, in my Bible reading. I look forward to getting home tonight to spend some time in God's Word. I'm looking forward to worship tomorrow morning or this afternoon so I can hear the Word of God one more time. Is there any sense of appetite, spiritual appetite for the Word of God in your life? You see, you have to taste it for yourself to see how sweet it is. And once you have a taste for it, then you will and you should have an appetite for it. Now, this appetite is part of a growing and living faith. If you don't find that in your life to any great degree, don't despair, but instead, taste. Taste and see, and taste it again. And that spiritual appetite will grow by God's grace. Now, another function of our spiritual taste for God's Word is, as I said, we will know when to spit out something noxious. And we find this also, I think, in these verses here that we've read, verses 101 to 104, where right in the middle of that section, the psalmist is talking about how sweet God's Word is to his taste. But what brackets that statement, in the same breath, he says, I restrained my feet from evil, verse 101. I hate every false way, verse 104. So there is that element of discernment that the psalmist is expressing. And so just as our taste is a faculty of discernment, God's Word, and only God's Word, can give us that faculty of spiritual discernment, to know evil for what it is, and to recognize it for what it is, and to turn from it as we should. So if you have known and if you have really tasted how sweet God's Word is, that also enables you to understand and to clearly taste how sour and how noxious sin is. Otherwise, we would not have that discernment without the Word of God. The bottom line is, without God's Word, we would swallow anything. We would be like men without taste buds who can't taste the difference between honey and gall. And this is precisely the unbeliever's problem in the world. There is no power of discernment between what is true and what is false, what is good and what is evil, so that they are like men without spiritual taste buds who will swallow absolutely anything. But with this living faith in Jesus Christ and a spiritual taste for his word and an appetite for its sweetness, only then do you know how sour and noxious the taste of evil is when you encounter it. Now, the third and final point is simply this. A spiritual taste for the sweetness of God's word is a pleasure that is to be indulged. It is a pleasure that is to be indulged. Now, the indulgence of our physical senses have proper limits. Think about our physical sense of taste. We can and we should eat what we like and enjoy what we eat, but there's always limitations and proper parameters to the indulgence of our senses. But the spiritual taste that we have, that the child of God should have for God's word, for that sweetness of his word, is something that should be indulged without limit. Do you taste the word of God sparingly, with only the duty of your sustenance in mind, without much taste or appetite? Or do you savor that sweetness and always relish the taste? Let me offer you two different images to ponder here, just a moment. First of all, imagine a food critic that goes into a world-renowned restaurant and has a world-famous chef prepare an exquisite meal for him, 7 courses. He sits down to the meal, and he's there to taste every subtlety, every nuance. In a sense, his thoughts are focused on his taste buds. How does he eat that meal? Does he gulp it down? No, he savors it. He takes small bites here and there. The meal might take him all evening. That's one picture. Now, think of this second image. Think of a child being forced to eat his vegetables. Two different pictures. Which of those images reflects your taste for God's word? I think too often we're a little bit like the child being forced to eat his Brussels sprouts. And if you approach it that way, it's going to taste like Brussels sprouts. But if God's word is sweet and delightful to our taste, or if you would like to know more of that sweetness, then your spiritual taste must be indulged. In other words, take time to taste it, savor it, meditate upon it, pause on every phrase, take in every nuance, ponder and pray over and apply every detail. This is how to indulge your spiritual taste for God's word. And this is how the sweetness of God's word is realized and enjoyed. I think this comes out in a subtle way in our verses here, and especially in verse 103. The psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste." The psalmist very often refers to the scriptures as God's word in the singular. In fact, if you look at all of the surrounding verses, whenever he mentions God's word, it's singular. But here it's words, plural. And that's quite unique in this psalm. It's as if he savored the sweetness of every word, all of the words of God, like a man taking small bites of a delicious meal. How sweet are your words to my taste? If we would know the sweetness of his words, we must take time to taste those words, to indulge our appetite for it. Because God's word is not just a necessity like bread. It is a delight like honey, only far sweeter to the soul than honey is to the mouth. And you cannot understand this delight in abstraction. You can only understand this delight in the experience, in the very personal experience of tasting it. And so taste and see. Let's pray.